Hi, and welcome to Double Helix, the TF podcast. We're on episode 3, and we're together again.
Together again. We're here to now talk about really weird shit.
Today's episode is about problematic fetishes and problematic porn. Our dialogue from the previous episodes has brought to the fore a lot of people talking about how one of the most difficult things for them and their TF fetish or their fetishes that are ancillary to it is reconciling that the things that they fantasize about and the kind of porn that they like to indulge in doesn't necessarily always jive with their moral compass, and kind of how we can kind of figure out that cognitive dissonance and reconcile that.
It's basically just sort of like when people really, really like porn that's really intense and hard and mean and not nice, and a sort of thing that if you did it in real life to another person, especially in the way that it's presented within the context of a story, like there isn't consent, there is explicit lack of consent, and how that, you know, what that is like and how, you know, how to feel about that, and just talking about what that means in general and how that can be not, you know, doesn't mean that you're the worst person, basically.
Also, like, one of the things we're going to talk about is porn and where porn kind of exists in the greater sociological media compass. Like, does porn coexist with fiction? Is porn a special kind of fiction? If porn is problematic, is it subject to criticism? How can we be cognizant of what we're doing with porn, but still understand that sometimes it is the things that are squicky about it that end up being hot? And so how do we preserve those things while still being cognizant about that they're not necessarily great for all people? And how do we reconcile that?
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, This episode may or may not have been inspired by a certain movie that came out recently.
It may have a number
really
in the title.
Crappy job.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen 50 Shades of Grey and I haven't read it. Like,
oh, I thought we were talking about that Disney movie with the robot.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about 22 Jump Street. Damn.
That was problematic, and it's not okay.
Yeah, any movie with Channing Tatum in it is a little problematic, but.
Oh, he's so dreamy.
He is quite dreamy. But yeah, I mean, full disclosure, like I said, I haven't read it. I haven't seen it. I kind of have no desire to. Like, It's just not part of, like, the cultural zeitgeist that I'm interested in.
My mother read it. I found that out the other day. She asked me to fix her Kindle.
Oh, yeah?
And when I fixed her Kindle, that was the top book. So that was great.
I wonder if she wanted to read it before she saw the movie, I'm assuming?
I think she had been reading it probably because one of her degenerate, middle-aged, 50-some-odd-year-old friends, who was probably one of the parents of my childhood friends, told her it was good. And I'm not sure that she should be hanging out with those people anymore. They're a bad influence over my mom.
Mom, we have to have a conversation about your taste in BDSM pornography.
Yeah, and your friends. I just don't think it's okay that you're hanging out with these people who have this influence over you.
Yeah, that's really funny. But, like, I mean, even my coworkers have been talking about it, and it's weird to have BDSM come up as a topic at my work.
Mm. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah,
when normal people have porn, they just talk about it at work, and when we have porn, we can't talk about it anywhere except on this podcast incessantly.
But, like, that's the thing is, like, I want to get into this more, but maybe we should talk about this now, is, like, to them it's not porn. Like, it's a movie, and if it's in a movie theater, it can't be porn, right? Mm. And they, like, you know, have had conversations about how, because they've read the book, and how a lot of scenes aren't going to be in the movie because they can't possibly show it, but it never occurs to them that that's because it's porn, although my one coworker, who is very religious, thinks the whole thing is disgusting, which is hilarious.
I have a big problem with it too, for very different reasons.
Yeah, I ended up on the same page as you're very, well, I guess I'm fairly religious. Never mind.
Very
Catholic.
I just wanted to say one other thing that we were going to get out of the way at the top is just in terms of talking about the sort of the problematic stuff, we're going to stick to stuff that's problematic and not like actually like illegal to have be
illegal, yeah.
So we're basically like rape and violent sex. That is, you know, pornography of that is what we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about like snuff kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's like, beyond the level, and that kind of waters down the actual discussion, because that's a lot easier to just be like, that's not something that you could do in pornography, and that's not something that is worth discussing.
I think it's such an echelon above kind of what we want to talk about, that I think I would really like to talk to the people who like have a hard time reconciling that they're into like, you know, mean stuff or stuff that is degrading to women or stuff that is like, I can identify with those people. I can't identify with the people who are into snuff.
Yeah.
Like,
so we're just going to,
the point of this conversation is to be able to say to somebody, the things that you like are okay, even though that you have some problems with it and you would never do this to a person. Normal life, it's okay that you have these fantasies. If you fantasize about legitimately murdering people, it's not okay that you have those fantasies. So please don't tell the police that you listened to this podcast and we said it was okay.
Yeah,
so we're just getting that out of the way at the top, and now back to 50 Shades of Grey, which no matter what else it does not say, hey, murder, hooray. So.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the things we should do probably at the top of the show is define what we mean by problematic, because we've already said it like 60 times. But like, so if you Google it, you get the regular definition of it, which is to like something that it creates a problem, like something that's difficult. But problematic has a different meaning in like sociology, like and like cultural awareness. And it's basically just that it presents something that, and it's usually used in, I've seen it a lot in like media criticism, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually like, this presents a viewpoint that while it may align with like cultural notions, like it's not great. So, or like it may present a viewpoint that's totally antithetical to cultural notions, but it's still not great. So it has to do a lot with like the themes and stuff inside of a piece of media and how those interact with what we believe is our moral compass. So if you guys want to add anything to that, that would be helpful.
Well, actually,
let's give a simple example. So like, I am a female person living in America, and I sometimes fantasize about being turned into a dog and raped.
Yeah.
And I am also a feminist, and feminist critique would probably look at a story about my fantasy and be like, that is super misogynistic.
Yeah.
And so I have to reconcile that in my head.
Yeah. And that
is a problematic fantasy.
That can be really difficult to do, especially when you spend 90% of your time, like, you know, getting upset about stuff like that, and then 10% of your time jerking off to it.
Like, but you could also say that furiously. No, you could also say, though, that like, because you have the agency and power to actively pursue those fantasies with people who are willing to help you, like, with those fantasies, or even if it is just in the privacy of your own mind, you have the ability to control that fantasy, and that's, like, the big difference.
Empowering. And I can absolutely say that because I am a third-wave feminist, but if I was a second-wave feminist, I would have to, like, lash myself in front of my altar of feminism.
Can I just point something out? I've realized we're now like 20 minutes in or so. We never introduced ourselves. So
they know who we are.
Well, like,
yeah, they should stop listening.
Okay, well, just in case people don't know what our voices like match up to, or you know, if this is your first time, like that can happen. Just relax. We'll be gentle. My name is ABCD, and I will be taking you on this ASMR adventure. No, sorry, on this adventure.
And I'm Grabby Hands McGee.
Wonderful. That is Tarion. He is my husband, and he never introduces himself as himself. I think you've made up a fake name every single podcast. Yes.
Oh, cool.
I'm Anger Boda. You may know me from such films as, no, I'm kidding. I draw shit. A lot.
And I am Fuego, and I look at the shit she draws. I don't know. I don't really have a important thing I do.
That's okay. No, well, no one other than Aang said what they did anyway. So
when I was amicable to be paid to draw things, Fuego paid me to draw a lot of hot shit.
Yeah. And Fuego is also like the smartest person we know in terms of like all of
this
stuff.
I'm actually the dumbest person in the whole group. I'm a total deaths.
Yeah, for sure. So,
yeah.
But she does know she does know a lot of the background stuff that we don't. Like, she's been in sort of like in-person communities a lot longer.
I'm a kinky motherfucker is what they're trying to say. And I'm shameless about it.
Yeah, but great. I mean, that was what opened up this whole dialogue. And you were the first person who said, I think we need to do a podcast about, you know, problematic porn.
And like, I think it's because we got so many messages from people being like, oh my God, I was so ashamed of liking this until I heard you guys talk about it.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, come on, you want to talk about what you're ashamed to be like? Let's talk about, like, shameful things to like. Let's go real down the hole and explain that, you know, that's not actually that bad.
Yeah, I do, but that has been the nature of a lot of the contacts that we've got, or people, and that honestly was a block for a lot of people when they were saying, like, why I can't talk to my partner, and they were telling me, I can't talk to my partner because I think the shit that I like is vile, and I don't know how to reconcile myself with it, so how can I talk to another person about it? And so I think that's why we felt like this episode was necessary, plus the conversation about Fifty Shades of Grey really kind of made me think about it more and more, but I guess we should get back into that.
Yeah.
So, basically, like, my core thing about 50 Shades of Grey is that I started to think about people getting really upset about the movie because, like, it's established that it's not faithful to what BDSM really is. It presents, like, a negative, like, a bad model to people who may not be familiar with the BDSM community, and it basically idealizes an abusive relationship.
I think there's actually two things going on there. Like, yes, it is a book about BDSM. It is also a book that features an abusive relationship, and what people need to do is realize in their head that you can have BDSM without an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And there was actually a really good comparison that I found on Tumblr, and I'll try and find it and tweet it, by the way. It was actually outlined the difference between a BDSM relationship and an abusive relationship, and it did a really good job of it.
I think I've seen the exact same thing that you're talking about. And so, so I understand people's issues with it as a piece of media, and I totally get that. But the more and more I thought about it, the more I started to say to myself, like, but all of these things that are problematic about 50 Shades of Grey, like the fact that the relationship is abusive and the fact that it's not realistic and all these other things, these are things that I consume in porn all the time. And, like, I mean, especially in written fiction, like, there's a lot of written fiction that doesn't present a good model of, like, fetish relationships or, like, good power dynamics, but it's still pretty hot. And
that's a super interesting point. So, like, you're saying the thing that makes 50 Shades of Grey so hot is not the BDSM, but it's actually the fact that people are playing out, like, fantasizing about a problematic abusive relationship and, like, working that out in their heads and not, in fact, getting off to the blindfolds.
I feel like
a lot of it.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I feel like that must be the case because from all I've seen, the BDSM part of it is very small and like very sort of like low key for BDSM, but it's also like if I've heard it correctly, she tends to the main female character, she tends to turn a lot of it down. And so there isn't like a lot of actually like being whipped or spanked. It's more just sort of like being in a situation where this powerful guy sort of like sweeps her off her feet and says, no, we are doing this. Now we are flying to Paris. Now, you know, you are coming with me and, you know, you don't say anything against that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is like, that fits into like the whole BDSM thing in terms of like, that's definitely a fantasy power exchange thing. Mm. Like, and how is that right? Like saying like, oh, this guy took over my life and cut me off from my family and friends and gave me everything I ever wanted. How is that really like, how many steps removed is that from like, oh, dude finds me, kidnaps me, turns me into a thing. Like, I don't ever get to see my family again. There's a lot of things there that are very parallel, and I'm not trying to make any excuses for this piece of fucking shit.
That's super cool to hear somebody defend it on those grounds, actually.
But then my beef with it isn't that it's shitty fiction. It's that it's porn, and people aren't acknowledging that it's porn.
And before people come in to say, by the way, we know it's terribly written. Like, we know that the writing quality is bad.
I have jerked off to some shitty fiction. Not yours.
Oh yeah.
Like in the days before Abe was a big part of my life and I had great fucking porn on demand, like I have jerked
like
off
Netflix
to some shitty
for porn.
I have jerked off to some shitty porn and like it doesn't super matter if porn is really well written as long as it is like all of your favorite things.
Mm. Yeah, it hits like, those buttons at the right time.
Now I'm a little more discerning about my porn consumption. But, like, I mean, considering that Fifty Shades of Grey is a thing kind of grew out of, like, a young adult fiction novel, like, it's, you know, it's baby's first shitty porn. And, like, as that, if it was that, I would have no issue with it.
So the issue is that it's labeling itself not as porn, and therefore people don't know to sort of put up that barrier of, like, oh, this is porn. Like, that's not realistic because, you know, like in porn, like, obviously, women don't orgasm like 50 times when you just look at them.
Yeah, actually, we do. Well, we do. We definitely do.
But like,
some people don't. Actually, I hope that catches on. That it's expected that a woman will orgasm 50 times because right now it's expected that a woman will orgasm like twice in her life.
Yeah,
as far as I can tell by people.
But at least, you know, people know that porn has that layer of fantasy that, you know,
exactly.
You know that, it, you know, what you do. Yeah. You know, if you order a pizza in porn and you get a hot dicking, like, that's what, that, you know, that's porn. If you order a
then
pizza
if you stop
in...
watching porn and order a pizza, you're not going to get a big sausage.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if someone comes over to your house and is like, so, do you want to fuck with the pizza? You'll be like, no, that's not how this transaction works. And people know that. But because 50 Shades of Grey is being like, oh no, this is a story and it could totally happen. Like,
that's like the plot of Wes Anderson's porn. Yeah, the guy comes into the totally bare apartment, but he's got like a tent set up and the inside of the tent's way bigger than the outside.
And then they fuck the pizza.
Yeah. Awkwardly.
And then there's like really sad, awkward piano music throughout.
And Bill Murray is there.
I was just about to say Bill Murray. Bill Murray is the pizza.
Bill Murray is the pizza. Well, he did play Garfield. But my point is that porn exists as a kind of, like, I started to have this idea and it snowballed more and more. And I'm kind of convincing myself of it, but I really want to talk it through because I think there are issues in my theory. But I'm starting to believe that porn exists as a kind of super fiction and that maybe it's not as beholden to cultural criticism as it, you know, it would otherwise be because we understand that it's not real and never purports to be real and never, like, doesn't interface with culture in that way. It's not a reflection of culture. It's purely entertainment.
It's fantasy.
It's pure fantasy.
And it's like one of the lowest levels of fantasy too. Lowest levels in terms of like Maslow.
In terms of where my hand goes.
Actually, maybe what you were saying
I didn't
before,
know you were a defeat.
Maybe what you were saying before is a good point in the fact that if it was porn, people wouldn't talk about it at work. Like, given that it's something like 50 Shades is something that people talk about enough to permeate the culture. Like, or, you know, just regular society. But if you, you know, secretly jerk it to getting bent over and raped, you don't talk about that at work and people don't go, oh, okay, I guess it's normal to, you know, bend over a woman and rape them, I guess. Well, I know what I'm doing this lunch break. Like, whereas...
It could be the other way around, too, though, right? It could be like, this porn has reached such a cultural saturation that everybody expects that everybody else has read it and therefore... Why hide that we've read it? We can discuss it.
I guess, but I would bet, and I guess there's no way for me to back this up, that if you ask people to determine whether it was pornography or not, they would, people, especially who admitted to liking it, would try not to make it porn.
I would say people who've read it,
is your mom going to admit that 50 Shades is porn?
I have no idea. Okay. It would be interesting because, so let's say she read it before knowing what it was. Like, you could admit that you had read porn if you didn't know it was porn first. If 80 of your friends are like, hey, have you read this book? And then you read it and you find out it's porn, it's not your fault that you read it. You're admitting porn. Like, somebody tricked you into reading porn, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But my whole point was, like, there are so many other – and whenever Fifty Shades of Grey first came out, they were comparing it to, like, the Harlequin romance novels.
Those are never put on the same level as porn.
They're never put on the same level
as
porn.
Your mom reads those.
Yeah, but they're also, like, they know what they are. They know, like –
they're definitely softcore.
They're not trying to hide it, but I mean, it like fits into that niche. Whereas I feel like 50 Shades of Grey was definitely like trying to be like, oh, this is better than that. This is a book, but like,
really?
It's got this naughty aspect.
I don't think anybody has sat down and been like, this is a book on a higher level of books
like
than
a
Harlequin romance novel.
Like a piece of canon.
No. I think Terry's right in the fact that it achieved such a cultural mass that it was something that you could read that didn't have that level of association of like Harlequin romance, because it got to the point where you could read it of just like, well, everyone's reading this. I want to see what the fuss is about.
The expectation is that everybody has read it. It's a cultural phenomenon, but that doesn't mean that everybody can't read a romance novel. Like, there are definitely romance novels that everybody has read.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the book that 50 Shades of Grey is ostensibly based on is that.
Exactly.
Like, it's like a shitty monster romance novel that, like, a whole my sister
read.
Oh, God,
yes.
Like, and I mean, I don't know. But anyway, but my point is that I doubt a lot of people who read it and enjoyed it would admit that it's pornography.
Yeah, I feel
and
like people
I would
who
be
didn't.
Curious.
Sorry, I feel like people who didn't read it are more likely to call it pornography. If people who did read it, I think I think you're right in the fact that they would say, "Oh no, that's not porn."
Yeah,
that's interesting.
But I'm.
Has anybody on this call read 50 Shades of Grey?
No,
we possibly should have.
No, none of us.
We possibly should have clarified.
I guess
this
I was going to ask: is there penetration in the book, or do they fade to black? Like, is there...
No, there are definitely scenes
that
I have seen people, like, you know, there have been a lot of parodies where people have actually taken, like, actual lines from the book just because they're so over the top and so ridiculous and, like, done parody videos to them. And they actually say, you know, like, this is an actual line from this book. One of my favorites is John St. John, the guy who voices Duke Nukem, reading excerpts from the book. And it was the anal beads scene, actually. And
that's
was
porn.
Amazing.
If there's anal beads in your book and they're not a sight gag, like they go in someone's butt and they come out again and orgasms occur, that's porn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that as a hard barrier.
Yeah, they definitely describe orgasm in the book.
Something about a lot about inner goddesses.
Yeah. But anyway.
I did read Gilbert Godfrey sections of it. Yes, but, so that's definitely porn.
But we
definitely
can agree. Porn. Okay, so we can agree baseline then that it has pornographic content. So I mean, but my argument isn't even that it's porn because it has pornographic content. My argument is that it's porn because it fetishizes a power exchange relationship that is so unrealistic as to be abusive.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that was where I almost felt like I could defend it because, like, you have all these people who are getting really upset about it because it presents a shitty view of a certain culture, or, like, our fetish culture to the greater, like, cultural milieu. But from the point of view of that it's just ascended porn, I don't know if I can get super mad at it. So,
yeah, there's definitely a lot of ways to look at that. That's like, it's like the difference between if I write Native American chief fucking porno.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, that's incredibly problematic, right?
It's
fucking awful. But secondarily, you know, it actually gets into my first rule of the word problematic, which is that the point of problematic things is the thing that makes them acceptable is that you sit down with this in yourself and you say, I recognize that this is a super shitty thing.
Yeah.
It's just I cannot control my orgasms. So.
but it's being able to have that conversation that I think is really important. And culturally, I think one of the conversations that we don't have, and I think even some people don't really have with themselves, is the nature of porn as fiction.
So we should probably bring this back into like relating to the stuff that we do in terms of
how
that works. So,
yeah.
I mean, all of us here have created, or at the very least, very enjoyed stuff that gets super problematic in terms of, like, if you just showed something that we, you know, one of the things that we created or, like, super enjoyed to someone who didn't know us, or, God forbid, someone that did know us and wasn't into this whole thing, then they would be like, oh,
they would be horrified.
Exactly.
But you know what? Perfect example of this. Like, I remember when I was telling you, oh, the first thing I read of yours was Skankenstein. And, like, three stories later, the thing that you're writing is, like, way more problematic and, like, really intense. And I remember you saying, like, thank God that wasn't the first thing that you read of mine, because that was before you knew me as a person. Mm-hmm. And, like, you might have been like, holy fuck. But the way that you discussed that piece in, like, your description of it and kind of all of your framing context for it made it clear, like, you acknowledge that the content of that, which for people who don't know what I'm talking about, like, it's this story about, like, basically a girl getting kidnapped by, like, alien scientists and then, like, tentacle raped and then, like, turned into a thing that, like, tentacle rapes another girl, right? Am I describing this right?
Yeah, except I don't... Yeah, I think the scientists were just people, and then it ends with her tentacle raping a scientist. But, yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it was intense. Like, when I read it, I was reading it with the creator telling me, you know, like, this is maybe, like, not, it may be too much. Like, this is one of the harder things I've ever written. I don't know about it. And so I'm going into it with all these caveats, and I'm still like, wow, I can see how this is, you know, tough. But, like, you had already thought about all the ways in which it was difficult and kind of had put in that framing context for people. So there was no way for them to just jump right into it without you previously acknowledging, like, yeah, this is really kind of scary. And, like, here's all the things that are in it that you might not like, which I think is a responsibility of a porn creator. And I think it's something you and me go out of our way to do, is to say, like, oh, here's this thing that we made. Like, here's all the crap that's in it. Like, And be honest about if it does have that intensity.
Yeah, because one of the things I want to talk about was, as someone creating porn, is it your responsibility to flag it in that way? And aside from the flagging it, also acknowledging, like, outside the bounds of the story or comic or picture, whatever, like, this is something that I've made, but this is, like, how... it's not, you know, don't do this in real life. Like, do you have to put a warning of, like, don't try this at home kind of thing? I mean, I think flagging it...
don't try this at home, that's not the important part. I think the important part is that you say, as a creator, yes, I recognize that the shit that I put in here is in some sense irresponsible culturally. And so you coming in need to recognize that if you have these preconceived ideas about how the world works, I am not reinforcing them for you. This is specifically for me to get off. I'm apologizing to you for this.
Yeah.
You do not need to be completely beholden to the people who are consuming the media to,
you know,
protect
them. So I think it's like,
but
in immortal words of the dude, you're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I have seen a lot of BDSM porn videos that always throw up the disclaimer before it starts, you know, all models are overage, all models have willingly consented to be in this.
Yeah.
You know? And it's
all
just like,
models
have
willingly consented to the fuck dungeon. Commence
exactly.
The fuck dungeon.
I think it was the fuck dungeon.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
But no, it was like, yeah, it was just on the screen for 2 seconds, and that's, you know, that's it. And like Fuego said, like, it doesn't, you know, like, if you have the desire to take things beyond a rational, reasonable dimension, that's a bigger problem than just consuming the media in order for the sake of getting off, I think.
So,
you know?
But I think the argument there against that is saying, like, if you consume the media but you lose the consciousness about that the media is fiction, or like you lose the context in which that media exists, I think that is where it gets difficult.
I would say
exactly.
I would say the cardinal rule here is for anybody out there who feels bad about this stuff, think about it, take a step back and be like, can I role play this with another consenting adult. And don't think about your current significant other or anything like that, because think about an idealized world where you met somebody and you're going to be like, okay, we're going to role play this, we're going to have a scene, and then it'll be done. And if you could say, yeah, you know, I think I could, you know, I could do that, then I would say it's not problematic, you know?
Well, like, it is, but the thing is, it is problematic, but it's not... You shouldn't have to hate yourself for.
Yeah, just like, because you put these disclaimers on things, and just because you acknowledge, like, okay, this is a whole thing and it's pretty far out there, doesn't mean you need to feel bad about it. The point of the disclaimers and, like, letting people know is, one, so that if they don't like it, they can be like, okay, I don't want to have to go through that, because I don't want to look at that, because, like, that super won't work for me. And but also, two, so that they can... So it sort of reinforces that this is, like, a fantasy thing that they don't need
so this
to go...
Is...
Yeah, sorry, you go.
This is kind of getting into my second rule of problematic. So remember, first rule of problematic is that you need to acknowledge that something is a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you may like it, that's okay, but you acknowledge it, you're conscious of it.
And the second rule is you never talk about problematic. Sorry.
No, you always talk about problematic. Second rule is, just because somebody likes something that is problematic does not mean that you have learned anything big about that person,
yeah,
apart from what gets them off.
Yes.
So, like, if
yes.
I say... I like to be raped. That doesn't mean you get to rape me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if I fantasize about it, it doesn't mean that I want someone to rape me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how I get off by myself.
Yeah, yes.
And it's
there's a totally, there's a huge difference between something being appealing in a fantasy context and something being appealing in a real life context.
Absolutely.
And it's also probably good to keep in mind that, like, if you learn that someone likes that, don't then, like, psychoanalyze them and break it down, like, oh, if they like this, then they must be, like, you know, messed up inside in this way, or they must have had this sort of thing happen to them. Like,
no. I've met people who are, like, super fucking strong, powerful, have all their shit together, who are into, like, really humiliating fantasies. I've met people who are, like, you know, have a hard, really self-esteem issues, who have humiliating fantasies, but I've met people who, like, are narcissists who have, you know, humiliation fantasies. Like, there is no common denominator between everybody who likes this feels X. And I know everybody's had...
Except for CEOs. All CEOs are complete Nelly Bottoms who love humiliation. And if you see them on the street in New York City, you should, like, cut their pants off and leave them there.
Me and Abe had this conversation vis-a-vis 50 Shades of Grey, because I said, like, IRL, this dude would be a sub.
Totally, oh, yeah. This is just totally unrealistic. He is the bottomiest bottom.
Boda, you remember that documentary we watched on Netflix about the cat house, the burlesque house in New York?
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt, like, every single person who was, like, getting spanked, or,
like,
there was one guy, in a full latex gimp outfit, and, yeah, was, like, this person was, like, a high-powered CEO, you know, Wall Street broker.
Yeah.
Who just, like, and it's funny because, like, I'm kind of the opposite. I feel I'm, like, more meek and mild in real life, but I tend to lean sub, which is, like, that seems weird, because just, like, normally you'd think I'd want the reversal. But it doesn't matter, because that's what gets me to that point.
That's the point, is you can't extrapolate any, like, especially personality stuff. Because, like, personality-wise, I mean, me and Tyrion have so much in common in so many ways. It's disgusting. But, like,
completely disgusting.
Personality-wise, we're very different. But we are very similar in terms of, like, where we fall on the dom to sub spectrum. So, like, I don't feel like there's anything you can really grok from that. So, I think that that's a good point. It's just not to fucking, don't take somebody's fetish and then be like, oh, you must have, you know, had issues with your dad because of this, or like.
Or on the same side of that coin, just, like, don't feel like you need to overanalyze yourself for
that's
having
a really good point.
These fantasies. Yeah. You know, you can accept that, like, this probably won't work in real life, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I accept that I'm having a fantasy. I'm within this fantasy. There have been, you know, plenty of times where I think, you know, I could speak probably for all of us, where we've all had non-con fantasies or fantasies that are, like, you know, outside of, like, what society, you know, like, it's, and again, if you can put it in the context of, like, I am viewing this as an internal scene, it will exist and then it will be done, and then
hurts,
I can go about, you know, the rest of my life.
And it hurts zero fucking people.
Yeah.
Like, you're not hurting anyone. And an internal fantasy is you're not even exposing anyone to that. So, like, the cultural responsibility of having an internal fantasy is fucking zero.
And I will say this, going back to the 50 Shades of Grey thing, the one thing, I think the one problem I have with it more than anything else is that it, because of all of the media attention it's gathered and kind of putting, like, what people think is BDSM into the spotlight, it tends to make BDSM look like a joke.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is, I think, more problematic, because then that's making people feel bad about it. And you don't need to. Like, that, to me, is worse. Like, not necessarily that piece of media, but just this bubble of other media that surrounds it.
Yeah, and... but that's the way media treats sex in general. And that's a clusterfuck and a shit show. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many people come to me and be like, a lot of the reason why I've never had a conversation about this or, like, whatever is because no one talks about it and no one talks about sex at all. And is like, no one in culture has serious conversations about sex. And that's not as true anymore.
Well, I mean, now you have a lot of... especially, like, fetish stuff. Like, I mean, obviously everything to do with furries and the mainstream culture, like, that is a punchline and nothing else. Like, I've definitely heard from several people who, like, their significant others is like, oh, yeah, whenever furry stuff comes up, it's always as a punchline. And so I can't talk to them and just be like, oh, hey, you know those people that you use as a punchline? That's also me. Sorry. Like, that's a really difficult hurdle to cross.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there about that I don't necessarily want to get into, but I think it's worth acknowledging about how, like, furry feels like within furry culture, there's a lot of taboo about talking about actual sex because we have to kind of constantly pretend that the fandom doesn't have a sexual element, which is fucking hilarious.
But we're mammals, and that's what mammals have.
Yeah.
Well, some of us are mammals.
Because there's also...
Sorry.
It was just like, who will speak for the lizard people?
Lizards have sex, don't they? They don't just spoo on the eggs. Although, if you did spoo on the eggs, that would be right up your alley anyway.
No, it's fine. We just run the world. It's fine. Anyway, sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, we're talking to the Illuminati. But
by the way, the Illuminati just followed me on Twitter.
I gave them a word.
Because of all the lizard people comments I was making.
I gave them a quiet word.
Thank you very much, Ben, for the hookup.
We are not the secret organization that runs the world. We are Illuminate Thursday nights at the club. I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, so I think that until we can kind of have actual conversations about sexual stuff and acknowledge that there is a sexual element to it, while also acknowledging that there is a non-sexual element to it, I don't understand why it all has to exist within this one fucking giant blanket. And, like, but, I mean, that's, like I said, that's a whole nother issue. But I think people are really getting to the point where they're frustrated with not being able to talk about this shit, with feeling alone about it. And that goes back to all of the stuff we've said in every previous podcast and all of the correspondence that we've gotten from people that is like, thank God someone is talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, like, the most important thing in the world, but it's pretty fucking important to be able to deal with your inner shit. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
But, yeah, so I think...
And this is the thing, too. Like, you can find those communities online to talk about it. Not everybody needs to know. I mean, I understand you have that kind of desire.
We already had this conversation.
Hey, Ma!
Your mom about this. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for the shout-out to our old podcast.
Yeah.
But, like... So, okay, so we talked a lot about 50 Shades of Grey, unfortunately. I'm sorry, guys. And we talked a little bit about being a responsible creator of pornography. But I think one of the things I want to acknowledge about creating pornography is that having inner fantasies and, like, thinking about stuff when you jerk off has a zero level of cultural responsibility because no one else is seeing that. But as soon as you start talking about it and it moves beyond you into the wider world, like, that level of cultural responsibility gradually increases. And maybe that has to do with the amount of people who are exposed to it. And maybe that's why 50 Shades of Grey has so much cultural responsibility.
We take this as an opportunity to transition into the point of what the difference is between, like, consuming problematic porn and creating problematic porn and, like, that sort of thing of, like, what you need to sort of keep in mind with that and all that kind of jazz?
I think that's good because, like, I think that that's a good point to make because I feel like at base level, consuming problematic porn is not a thing that you need to worry about.
Like, it's passive versus active.
Exactly. So, like, and especially if it's a piece of media where, like, no humans were actually involved in the creation of this pornography beyond the person tapping the keys or, you know, moving the stylus. Because so much of our porn is purely fictional.
I feel like
I have no idea what happened. I just hit the keyboard. A bunch of dumbass lizard girls come everywhere. I don't know what happened.
That is basically what happened.
You guys, as creators, have a different kind of view, I think, than the majority of the people. Like, most of the people that we hear in the emails that are saying, "Oh, thank God you guys are talking about this," they're not creators. They're people that just sit by themselves and look at this stuff and are upset that they're turned on by it. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right, so there is a huge component there of guilt. There shouldn't be a component of guilt there, but I think it's a common thing. Mm. And I think what we're saying is, as long as you acknowledge that it's problematic, you're hurting absolutely zero people, even yourself. The only way that you can hurt yourself from this stuff is if you internalize the problematic aspects and you think that they are true, or you think that you think they are true.
You make a judgment opposed to, on yourself.
Yeah, when you allow,
or you
when
let
you
it come
your,
into your psyche. You let it change how you think about the real world.
Yeah,
that's why acknowledgement is important. You need to go in and be like, this part of this media is a problem. I cannot let it affect me. I'm going to get off to this. I'm going to think about how it's a problem. That way it will not seep into my thinking.
Yeah,
so it's sort of like the thing of, like, just because if you're getting off to the idea of you being raped, you don't need to then afterwards be like, wow, I'm such a piece of shit, I guess I deserve that. Or I guess I deserve to be treated badly because I guess I like that.
Yeah.
Like,
or
that,
all women like to be raped.
Yeah, no,
yeah, that's
no.
The two sides of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's also, like, there's also the issue of people who feel like stuff that's problematic, but in a direction of just being really weird. And there's a lot of people who feel like, wow, the shit I'm into is so weird. Like, I must be really fucked up. Like, and you're not, everyone's into really, really weird shit. They just never talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anyone needs to stress about that the shit they like is weird or whatever. Like, I don't know.
I would even say that if the stuff they like is weird, it doesn't even necessarily mean it's problematic.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
You could just like a weird thing and be like, this weird thing is totally okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely agree. Just wanted to touch on that because I feel our particular thing has an extra layer of, like, I'm into being, like, I like the idea of, like, a monster raping me and then I, like, grow two more arms and, like, whatever. Like,
that's a little problematic. I could see where that would get there.
Well, that's what the bug stuff was to me. Like,
yeah.
Because it has
that's too many arms.
Yeah, it has such overtones of rape, and then, like, on top of that, it's also really weird and gross.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that kind of just all, like, was just a big mess to me that I didn't know how to deal with for a long time.
All right, so I just derailed you guys, so you were talking about creator guilt.
Do feel bad, though, if we're going to go on and on about that, because you're right, like, the majority of people don't create porn.
Well, I mean, some people do, and I feel like it's worth talking about it at least somewhat. Although I did want to say to point out that the bug thing that Aang was talking about was we released a for-pay thing called Hive Mind, which had like a whole bunch of like bug sex transformation-y kind of stuff. The main reason I bring that up is the fact that we were both super nervous before we released it of like, oh man, is everyone just going to hate this and think it's terrible? And so far, we haven't received a negative comment about it from anyone. Like, everyone is literally wow, this is, like, really super good. Like, even, like, quality aside, like, everyone was like, this is what I always kind of wanted and never managed to find, and we were worried that it was like, oh no, this is too niche for our particular niche, and it's going to gross people out, and that appears to have not been the case.
Yeah.
Please don't take that as a challenge to comment poorly on it, people.
I think it's important to, like, I think it's good that you're bringing it up, because I think the one thing people can glean from that is that, like, it's not just you as the consumer who thinks about that or thinks, like, oh, is this too much? Is this a line that I've crossed?
Yeah.
Even the people who are making this stuff are not, like, these, like, consciousless, like, oh no, I don't care, man. This
not
is
just
this is
producing drones.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we have to overcome a personal barrier to be able to create that porn and put it out in the world and sometimes profit off of that porn. So, like, I can totally understand where people are coming from having difficulty consuming that kind of porn, and I definitely sympathize with that because there was a point where I was only the consumer. I also want to go on the record as saying I think more people should make porn. Like, I think that would be cool, like, if more, because I know people want a creative outlet, and I think porn is a good one. I think it gets you more used to the things that you like. It gets you better, easy. It makes it easier for you to talk about it. I think it's a really positive thing. I'm not saying that people should feel like they have to. I'm just saying, like, if you have, you know, doubts about the quality or whatever, blah, 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 just fucking make your shit.
I think that's happened sometimes, you know, like, how often have you, like, read a story that was, like, 90%, yes, killing it, but there was, like, that 10% of stuff that was just, like, oh, then it ruins it for you.
Yeah, then you, like, then if you're
eight,
you
find the stuff, and you can make it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
and then you can be, like, and that's...
Sorry, keep going, Terrell.
I was just gonna say, like, the other thing about that, like, when you kind of get into that of, like, creating stuff, is that's a way where you can say, like, this is the thing I obviously am into, and use that as a beacon to find other people
who are into that. We talked about that.
But
all right, so let's talk about your responsibility as a creator, vis-a-vis disclaimers and stuff.
Yeah, because that's one of the things I want to talk about in terms of disclaimers, and also in terms of, because that links into what Tyrion was saying in terms of, like, you know, being 90% the stuff you like and 10% the stuff you don't like. If you flag things of, like, okay, it's got X, Y, Z, and 1, 2, and 3, and people could be like, oh man, I love all of those, but 2 is the worst, and I can't read anything that has that in it, so I'm not going to venture into this and, you know, have a really great experience till halfway through where I just go, oh, and Boner destroyed, and now I need to go lie down for a while kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like flagging is definitely helpful for that in terms of just being like, you know, if people know that up front, they can know not to deal with that. But one of the other aspects I wanted to talk about was, in terms of our responsibility of making stuff, how do we feel about making sure, you know, the words that we use in particular in certain ways? Because, like, one of the things that I sort of wrote down beforehand for this was the fact that, like, over time I've had certain words that I've stopped using because just I realized that they super don't work for some people and they super turn some people off. So for one case, the C word,
in your defense is a cultural, like, it's not as big of a deal for you.
Yeah, exactly. But originally I was just
in America, like, versus any of, like, the European countries or like anything in the British Isles, it's just like that. It's just like every other word.
Yeah, that's
where
just
in America,
hello.
We're just like, oh, geez, no.
Yeah,
except
yeah.
for the word that it actually represents, in which case you replace that with clunge. Otherwise, mistake it for a hammer or a car or a shrubbery.
I always thought clunge was just a particular kind of exercise maneuver, but, you know, that's also good. But
doing clunges.
But yeah, I mean, that sort of thing, but also the ones that are a bit more directly sort of, like, easily more directly offensive, like, you know, trap or, you know, those sort of terms that can really turn people off.
There's stuff you wrote here that you don't even want to say.
So I'm looking at this right now, and I will say them. Trigger warning, 3, 2, 1. The words that we have listed here are trap, tranny, and herm. And I will say, if you are going to write something in your story that people regularly yell before they kill a human being, you should probably put a trigger warning on that, or else you are an asshole. That's my statement.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, but Abe's point, too, was like, what it is using that kind of language, does it even serve a purpose? And
it does. Absolutely does serve a purpose, I think.
But
I think they're
both come down on the side of, like, it's not useful in pornography.
No, I don't think that's true. I think for people to whom it does not apply, it is probably not useful. Like, if you are not a transsexual person, the word tranny pretty much just means that's a person who I plan to kill very shortly. Right? But if you are, it may be something that helps you overcome the idea that perhaps you are less than other people, or come to terms with that problem, right? Like, so if I am a transsexual person who is ashamed of being a transsexual person, it may be cathartic for me to see that word used in porn, or I may use it for myself. But that is a very specific situation. I don't want to condemn it completely, but at the same time, if that's not the way that you're using it, it is a stupidly problematic word.
I think that it probably just requires a level of facility that most, an experience that most people don't have.
Yes, I would completely agree with that.
It's the same way where, like, it's the same argument that, who was it, Louis C.K. that made that, the argument about rape jokes, is just like, it's really hard and it takes an amount of facility that people don't have, and so you should just err on the side of not doing it.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of doing it. Like, basically, like, you know, I guess, from what you were saying, is it strikes me as a little bit like the N-word in the fact that, like, I wouldn't use it, and it's just super easier not to. Like, there's always other words, dog. Yeah. Like, there's so many other words. Like, there's other words that aren't going to turn. Like, for me, in particular, in, like, TF sort of fetish stuff, like, I would say at least 5% of the audience is actual transsexual people, or, you know, something around there. And just from, like, a marketing perspective, it's not great to just immediately just have 5% of your audience being like, fuck this, and you suck.
Yeah.
But these
and have them crying. Yeah, you don't want
exactly.
To do that.
And have them crying. That's from, like, an ethical point of view, which is quite aside from marketing.
I think it's kind of a 50-50 thing, because you kind of have to, as a reader, understand that not necessarily every content creator is going to have the level of maturity and world knowledge in order to make those literary decisions. I mean, I know we're
which is why we say, which is why we say, don't use them if you have any question at all.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's my argument: if you're not mature enough to understand not to call people names they don't like, don't write pornography, because then you're 17.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I was going to say the other part of that is, like, as the content creator, maybe put a little bit more thought into your words.
Yeah, well, it's the same. It's like, it's not the same, but I mean, there's also an issue of people, like, using super stupid words for, like, genitals.
Oh.
Like, and that's just a maturity thing and a word choice thing and whatever. But I'm saying I would err on the side of not using words like that, just because, like, you don't need it. Unless there's a very specific context in which you absolutely need that word, and it's driven by, like, the character's motivation and the way he or she feels about themselves, or, like, something like that. I see that as being such a narrow window.
And I feel like
even then, if you are not a person to whom those words would be applied by most of society, you probably don't have any right to use them anyway.
I would say, like, it's again, it's like, even in that situation, it's like a like the rape joke kind of thing of, like, even if the story is and characters are driving it in that way, it's super hard to actually pull it off in a way that just doesn't come across as terrible. So, like, just, it's best not to try. Like, that's shooting for a rainbow that you don't need to hit, dog. Just go for another rainbow.
There's a constantly evolving palette of words that you can use in porn. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of good alternatives.
But there's also what you were saying before, you don't need to go for a whole thesaurus. Like, you can have, like, three words for genitals, and, like, that's fine. Like, you don't need to, like, every single time call it a different thing. And, even if you're insulting a character in a story, you don't need to use the insults that make people just feel the worst. Like, you can just be like, hey, you're dumb and you look bad. Or, like,
I think something that is worth mentioning is that people's list of insults, or people's list of derogatory language that are acceptable and not acceptable, can differ from person to person. Mm. I love the word slut. Other people might not like it. If someone called me a whore, I would punch them. So, like, I think that that's such a case-by-case basis that I would almost say, like, just use your best judgment. But, I mean, so I think maybe part of the responsibility with porn, then, is just, like, to deal with things in a mature way that doesn't make your audience feel terrible.
Yeah, and also, if someone brings up that, like, hey, you do really good stuff, but, you know, this particular word that you use here or this particular term, like, that is really bad. Don't double down and be like, no, like, I'll use whatever word I want. Like, just, like, it's okay to be like, actually, you know what, there are other words, I can change this one word, or just in future, maybe not use that word, or that sort of thing. Like, be open to that sort of criticism if there's someone who has experiences that you don't, and the other option is they're just like, well, okay, well, now I will never use any of your stuff again, because that's dollars out of your pocket, man. I don't know if you're selling it, but still.
That's not even criticism. That's nothing about you as a creator. That's about that person reading it. And so you're being a nice person by recognizing that somebody else has had an issue with something and you want them to continue to enjoy your artwork. Mm. So maybe you make a very tiny change that means absolutely nothing to you and a whole lot to them.
Yeah. But that's a maturity thing.
But being able
to take any kind of criticism like that is a huge mark of maturity.
Yeah.
And I think that it's incumbent upon people who produce adult material to behave like adults.
Yeah, but also,
yes,
like,
thank
it's,
you.
It's, like, in some cases, like, I feel like the word, like, for example, herm, you know, hermaphrodite isn't, when it's used in porn, it isn't necessarily, like, everyone's first thought, like, oh, that's an offensive word. So if you don't think that that's super bad, like, you can make an argument that, well, you know, I'm not going to change that, but just don't be a dick about it. Just be like, okay, well, you know, that you know, like, you have a point.
Because in some people's minds,
there
is a distinct difference between that term in a completely fictitious sense versus anything that happens in the real world.
Yeah, but to our earlier point, there's a lot of other words you could use there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I tend to just go with
Scooter now.
I stopped
fucking using that word. Like, some people didn't like it. I stopped using it. And you know what? There's never been a point where I've thought, like, damn, if only I could write herm here.
Yeah, exactly.
There's actually, you could, like, take a page from the Germans. Like, you don't need a word for everything. You could put two or three descriptive words together that are not insulting to some people.
Yeah.
I just use Fuda now because that's clearly, like, a made-up thing that, like, no one is... Yeah, so that seems to work fine.
It allies you with superior Eastern pornography. I'm sorry. I have a fucking hair up my ass about that. Dee thinks that, like, Japanese, like, anime is way better than Western porn.
But yeah, just, like, if people come at you with experiences that you don't share, like, you don't have that knowledge, and, like, hey, just FYI, this can go down really poorly, don't be a dick about it. Like,
I think being willing to accept criticism and being willing to have a dialogue about stuff is important. It's also incumbent upon people who are making a criticism of something to raise it in a way that is mature. If you have an issue with something, it's totally okay. I think it's totally okay to try and interface with someone about it, but you shouldn't be like, wow, fuck you, this sucks. Like, I wish everyone in the porn community could be, like, a grown-up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, a grown-up.
Yeah.
And then,
well,
like,
yeah, I was going to bring up, like...
Number one, don't be a dick.
I was going to bring up the artists I follow on Tumblr a lot. I follow a lot of porn artists on Tumblr, and you know what? They are very nice. They're unapologetic about the stuff that they post, but at the same time, they are... you know, tend to be very responsive and willing to listen to people if the people are nice and respectful back, you know?
But that's, like, just, that's interfacing with other human beings.
Which we're not going to get into too much. But, like, you know, like, it's that take and give of, like, okay, well, like, maybe I'll try and be cognizant of, like, things that I'm writing and or drawing or whatever, and, like, I'll also try and, like, be diplomatic if I find something in porn that I don't like.
Yeah. So I think maybe, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, should we touch on, in terms of, because a lot of people might not be like creators, but a lot of people might commission people. Should we touch on how to deal with commissioning people for problematic things?
I think it's a good idea as an artist to have a list of shit you won't draw for money.
Yeah. And it never hurts to ask politely.
Yeah.
Well, like, unless it's on their no list. If it's on their no list, like...
Yeah, don't ask. If somebody says, I won't... No. If somebody says, I will not fucking draw this, I will not take your dollars to draw it, do not ask them to draw
it. Don't be that person. That's respect. Like, come on, yeah. I like mm-hmm. your stuff. Come on.
No,
come
on. Do not try and pressure someone into drawing something they don't want to draw. That's the pits.
But if it's, for example, when I first commissioned Aang, before I knew her, like, the first thing that I, like, commissioned was like, hey, so what if the girl's like, oh, laying, like, eggs and stuff, oh, cool.
You actually didn't ask for her laying eggs because you were nervous that that was too gross.
Yeah,
because
it wasn't on her no list, but it wasn't on, like, her sort of, like, established yes list. So I was like, maybe, but I don't want to go too far. I remember I presented you with, like, three options, and the third one was just like, oh, just this cool snake girl being, like, cool and, like, doing a thumbs up and fully clothed. I don't know, maybe a high five, whatever. Thankfully, you were okay with a version which was, like, quite a lot more cool than that, but like...
Yeah.
That's
I'm saying, like, barring the, if an artist has a list of things they definitely won't draw, like, it's okay to ask. I
would say it's okay to ask too. I would be cognizant of phrasing with things. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely, like, words that you can use that are easier than other words. Obviously, people use non-con a lot when they mean rape. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, stuff like that. There's ways that you can phrase things that aren't really offensive or whatever.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, I mean, you've had people try and commission you for stuff that's, like, not necessarily problematic, but not stuff that you necessarily want to do either. And you've been pretty cool about it, so.
Well, I mean, I've had, like one commission and one trade that I've actually done. And then I was just sort of like, you know what? Like,
Yeah, so. I guess then I'm most of the experience in this department, and I've had every possible fucking combination of stuff. I've had people ask me for stuff that they thought I wouldn't draw that I actually super liked, which is, like, pretty much what happened with Abe. I've had people ask me for stuff that I had out and out said that I would not draw that was on my no list. I've had people get in my face about not wanting to draw stuff. The one that I always get shit for, and I don't know why, is I won't draw pregnancy in porn, and people get really mad about that. Like, I just, like, so it's, but just in general, like, don't be a dick. It's the same as everything else. Just be cognizant of the fact that, on the flip side of don't feel like shit for the stuff that you like, be cognizant of the fact that not everybody likes the shit that you like. So I think that there's a good balance to strike in terms of saying, like, well this super does it for me, but, like, not everybody's super into drawing something with, like, 16 dicks.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to bring it up if it's not on their no list and you don't have to feel bad about it, but if they do say no, then, you just be like, okay, well, you know, at best you could be like, do you know anyone who could? And that's pretty much the only thing you could do there.
And as an artist, it is super not incumbent on you to draw things that you are not okay with. Do not take people's money for things that you do not want to draw. Like, just, even if you're strapped for cash, please say no. Don't get in a situation where you've taken payment for something and you super don't want to draw it because it's horrible, like, to you, like, personally hurts you inside. And then, you know, get in a situation like that. Because I've definitely seen that happen to people. And the correct answer in that situation is to refund the person and be amicable. But, like, you shouldn't have taken the money in the first place. Like, don't get yourself involved in that situation. I see that happen to so many people, and I just don't understand it.
And, you know, conversely, don't make any, like, if it's something that you like that somebody else doesn't like, that doesn't mean it's a judgment on you. It just means that, you know, that person, it's like, I can't do it justice, or I can't.
And if
an artist
doesn't want to draw your thing, they're not a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
for example, like, you can super like feet. And I tend to use that as my example of, like, a very, like, mild,
innocuous.
Like, innocuous thing. And but, like, I know artists that hate drawing feet just because they're really hard and they're really bad at it. And, like, so it can super be...
I'm raising my hand.
It can super be that, you know, artists are just like, no, that's not my thing. But it doesn't mean they're like, oh, you're gross. It's just sort of like, no, I can't do that, dog. They're all tricky.
Like, I can't help... I can't help you get to that coming point.
Perfect example, like, in my early days of drawing porn, I would, like, err on the side of not taking a lot of commissions for male-male pornography, and it has nothing to do with how I feel about, like gay guys or anything. I just suck at drawing dudes, and having more than one dude in the same picture was like hell for me. So like that was it. It had nothing to do with like my personal judgment. And so like, I don't want people to feel like not wanting to do something is any kind of a judgment on either party. So I think that that's a good, I think, thank you for making that point. Cause I totally forgot about that people pay other people to do them porn because I don't do that anymore.
No, that's fair. So have we covered pretty much everything that we wanted to cover here?
Yeah, I think that, I don't think there's anything we super missed. We didn't talk about the difference between, well, we did kind of talk about the difference between porn and fiction.
But I kind of wanted to just say one last thing, because I think one of the hardest things to get over in that whole problematic area is that you are trying to view your fetish pornography, your thing that you like, in the context of like the quote unquote normal world. Like, don't let yourself think that there aren't other people out there who aren't into, if not the same thing, similar things.
Yeah, and those other people aren't necessarily bad people. Like, there's probably really cool people who like the shit that you like. So it doesn't mean that you're a shitty person. It really doesn't.
And and especially, like I said, I was gonna kind of, like I had mentioned previously about like how like it like the BDSM thing came up as a joke. Like, don't make, you know, judgments based on, like, if you've seen your thing brought up in a way that, like, that sucks. Like, if it's, like, seeing your thing as, like...
Yeah.
As, like, a joke and, like, being, like, kind
or
of...
Or having people, know, like, openly be a piece of shit about it without...
Or, like, yeah, if you see people online, you know, who say, like, oh, God, the people who are into X must be terrible. Like, you know what? Don't...
Goddamn X's.
X's.
Called your fetish is not my fetish, but your fetish is okay.
Yes. And like, it's not super mature to hate on other people's shit. It doesn't gain you anything, and sitting there like laughing about like how stupid the thing Billy's into is really dumb, and I hate
and
it. Don't do
it. I will say this too. I think at least me and Boda were those people at one point.
Yeah,
and we've kind of over the years realized that it is the worst. Because there's somebody out there treating our stuff the exact same way.
Yeah, yes.
And it helps nobody.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've run into it every level. I've run into it in the fandom. I've run into it in real life. Like, it makes you feel like shit. So just don't hate on anything. Like, don't hate on people. There's no reason to.
Right.
Unless you hate yourself. That's the reason.
Yeah.
And if you hate yourself, then maybe do something about that.
like get therapy. Like,
yeah, talk to a therapist.
Yeah, therapy is the thing he's talking
about. Thank you. That's what I meant.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, I guess... I guess that pretty much sums up. I mean, I guess the point of this whole thing is basically just sort of being, I'm okay, you're okay, let's all keep fucking them snake babes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But if you listen to it backwards, we're definitely telling you to do lots of drugs and worship the devil. So,
well, worship the devil is baseline.
I mean, we could do that forwards.
I've been pretty open about the fact that I am Cat Satan.
Caden.
Does that mean you're actually in favor of being nice? Because I've met cats, and I think they're probably worshiping a jerk god.
Well, I am the cat jerk god.
good job.
So much clicking right now.
Anyway, keep fucking them snake babes. From all of us, it's okay to like what you like. Be cool.
Alright, and have a good one. Keep fucking them snake babes. Good night, everybody. Let's have two times. Good night. 1st thing I recorded, by the way. That's the beginning of the recording.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it at the end as the joke thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like
fucking the snake babes.